It's now time to get into the Word of God this morning, and I want to begin with a verse that you will find in the card I've just given to Alana and Devin. And this is one of those verses I call a gem. I have in the front of my Bible, I've written over the years, verses that I have found to be special to me. And this is one of those verses. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, which says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Isn't that a great promise? And this is the promise that God gives to Alana and to Devin, that wherever they go, He's going with them, He's going ahead of them, He will be behind them, and God will protect them and guide them as they devote themselves to Him. And as Sue and I began our road trip on June 6th, this was a promise we claimed for ourselves. And every morning when we got into our vehicle, before we started the car, we prayed, "God, go with us, watch over us, keep the car running, keep us safe. And Lord, we just want, whoever we meet today, we want to be an example of the love of God to those we meet." And God has blessed us so much. We traveled in the 3 weeks and 2 days that we were gone, 8 states and Canada. We drove over 5,000 miles, in fact, 5,083 miles to be exact. And during that time, we sensed the hand of God on us. We sensed that God was going ahead of us and protecting us. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God and to know that wherever you are, God is with you. And when you even maybe don't realize it, He's watching over you. The story that we're going to read and the scripture I have this morning illustrates this point. And I want to look at 2 Kings verse 6, chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And if you have a Bible, please open it. It helps a lot that you don't just listen, but you read along with me. And if you didn't bring a Bible, next to your hymnal, there's a red Bible. It's the same version I'll be reading from. And page 388 is where you will find 2 Kings chapter 6. And as we read this, I want us to learn 4 important lessons in faith related to this theme verse that we have this morning. And the first lesson is this: our confidence is always to be in God and not in ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, we are reminded of where the battles of life are really waged. One of the fundamental principles of the Christian faith and those who have a Christian biblical worldview is that reality is more than what you can experience with your 5 senses. There is another world that is invisible, but it's as real as the visible, tangible world in which we live every day. And it is in that world, in that spiritual realm, where we fight the battles in life that we fight. And Ephesians 6, 10 to 12 reminds us, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." The Bible never, never encourages us to be strong in ourselves. Not that I know of, but be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I understand that those who do not share our faith in Christ and in His Word, the Bible, think we're kind of a little off when we think that there is this unseen world of authorities and powers against which we wrestle. That's okay. But when you come to faith in God, and when the Holy Spirit enters your life, you realize what it means that we walk by faith and not by sight. Not all the battles that you will fight are battles you can where you can see your enemy. The enemy of your soul, the devil, is not visible to the eye, but he's real. And in this story, we have portrayed a battle going on. And we begin in verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. Now the biblical country of Aram is today the country of Syria. So the Arameans were the Syrians of today. This account takes place in 850 BC, 850 years before Christ. So the Arameans were at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, meaning the king of Aram, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. So he is now preparing to fight Israel. He says, we're going to go set up a camp in this place. The man of God, and this is Elisha, the prophet, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. Somehow, and we're not told exactly how, Elisha found out about the plans of the Arameans and what the king was conferring with his military leaders to do to Israel. And he warned the king of Israel in advance that this was going to happen. And we're not told that part of the story. But Elisha knew ahead of time what God or what the enemy was going to do in attacking Israel. And then verse 11 says this. This enraged the king of Aram, meaning that someone knew his plans before he even carried them out. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? And what he's saying is, who's telling the king of Israel about our plans? Who's the traitor among us that's letting our enemy know in advance what our plans are? And here, none of us, verse 12, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Imagine if someone had the power to convey to others what you speak in private in your bedroom. Someone once said that God is always eavesdropping on hell. I like that. God is never taken by surprise by what the devil does. In 2 Corinthians, the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 11, we do not want Satan to outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You see, the devil has a plan to subvert your life, to draw you away from God, to destroy your faith in Christ. And he has schemes, and he's very clever, but we're not going to let him outwit us. And the only way that I know of to be one step ahead of the devil is to be in God's word and to believe what God's word teaches you. A few years ago in a March for Jesus in Washington, D.C., there were thousands of Christians who were there congregating to proclaim their faith in Christ. And speaker after speaker got up to speak to the crowd that was assembled. And they spoke of the dire circumstances of America today, the crime and the abortion and the drug addiction and all the other things that are going on in America. And one speaker after us, another speaker after another got up and decried against the evil in America. The last speaker of the day of that March for Jesus was Bishop Smallwood James of a church in Washington, D.C. He got up, faced the crowd, and he said this, ladies and gentlemen, after hearing all I've heard today, I just have one thing to say. God is not in trouble. You know, when you look around you, there are a lot of things that distress you, aren't there? There are me. But you know what? God isn't in trouble. God is not caught off guard. Satan does not have the upper hand on God. God's will prevail. And when you put your trust in him, you have nothing to fear. There is nothing in this world that can harm you. Oh, it can hurt you, but not harm you, meaning nothing can draw you away from God and the plan that he has for your life. Well, once the king of Aram found out that all of his plans, even those in private, were being told by Elisha to the king of Israel, he says in verse 13, "Go, find out where he is, Elisha," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." And the report came back, "He is in Dothan, a city by Israel." And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. Now that term "strong force" in the Hebrew text signifies an army of 800 men alone to find Elisha. He was that much of a threat because he was giving God, God was somehow revealing to him the secrets of the enemy. "Go find him." And they went by night and they surrounded the city. The second lesson we're about to learn is this: God's strength is always greater than that of the enemy. Greater is the one that is in us than the one that is in the world. No matter how dark it looks, no matter how strong the opposition, God is stronger. And here's what we read in verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God got up," that was Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Now the city is surrounded by the Arameans, and they're sleeping. This all happened at night. "In the morning, the man of God got up, went out early on the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he said, 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes so he may see.' And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Now, this was not a physical army. This was a heavenly army. The angels of God, the heavenly host. And what Elisha is saying is, "Oh Lord, my servant is only looking through physical eyes. And he sees the enemy surrounding the city, but he doesn't see your army, your invisible army. God, open his eyes that he may see." About 150 years after this incident, another incident happened. And this is as Israel was about to be attacked by Assyria. And in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 6 to 8, Hezekiah appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate, and encouraged them with these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with them. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Here in our story, the opening of the eyes of Gehazi was the resolving of his fears, because he saw that there is a greater force with us than there is against us. Sometimes God needs to open our eyes to the world of the Spirit, doesn't he? When it just seems like everywhere I turn, I just see no hope. Look up. Let God open your eyes to what he is doing for you. One of my favorite stories is the story of John Patton and his wife, who were sent in 1858 to be missionaries in the New Hebrides. Now, the New Hebrides are islands in the South Pacific, now known as Vanuatu. These were headhunters and cannibals that they were going to. And his friends in America said, "What are you thinking? They're going to kill you and eat you before you have a chance to preach the gospel." John and his wife said, "God has called us and God will take care of us. And for whatever time we have, we're going to serve God. They went. And sure enough, within the first year, the tribe with the chief surrounded his home and threatened to burn down the home and kill the missionaries. John and his wife got on their knees and they said, "Oh Lord, we have no weapons to fight these people with. We just help. Would you help us? We give ourselves to you, O Lord." By dawn, the tribesmen were gone. And within 1 year, that chief that had surrounded their house was brought to Christ, heard the gospel, he accepted the gospel, and became a Christian, and most of his tribe with him. And John Patton asked him about this incident. He said, "A year ago, you were ready to kill us. Tell me, what happened that night when you had our house surrounded? You could have easily burned our house down and killed us. What happened?" And the chief said this: "We were afraid because of the army that surrounded your house." And John Patton said, "What army surrounded our house?" He said, "These huge men with glowing garments and big swords that we dared not fight against, and we fled, we left." What God had done to that chief is he had opened his eyes to see the army of heaven. I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are going through, but I want you to know this, that in your darkest hour, God's heavenly host will surround you with love and protection. You are never in danger when you are with God. God will watch over you. I'm not saying nothing ever bad will happen to you. Of course, we experience things that are hurtful and things that grieve us, but God is with us in every moment of that. Verse 16, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." God gave David this psalm, Psalm 3, 1-6. "O Lord, how many are my foes?" Ever said that? "How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, 'God will not deliver him,' in a mocking way." You think your God is going to save you from this? "But you are a shield around me, O Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep, I wake up again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God." With God on your side, you are never outnumbered by the enemy. Remember that. Remember this truth. The third lesson in faith: God can deliver us from what seems to be impossible circumstances. Look at verse 18. "As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Strike these people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, 'This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you're looking for.'" They didn't even know that it was Elisha, the man they're looking for, that's now leading them into a trap. "And he led them to Samaria, which was a stronghold of Israel at that time. And after they entered the city, Elisha said, 'Now, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they could see.' Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria." God, first of all, blinded their eyes, so they had to follow this man guiding them, they thought, to find Elisha. And then God, when God opened their eyes, here they were in the city of Samaria, surrounded by the Israeli army. The captors are now the captives, and the predators are now the prey. God had reversed the situation completely. God is still doing this today. John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see." And Jesus healed many who are the blind, and those who see will become blind. And what Jesus is saying is this: I will heal the blind so they can see. But those who think they can see, when they reject the gospel that I've come to preach, they will become blind to the real truth of who I am. I grieve when I find people that are in every other way successful, well off, but they're blind to the truth of God. If I can see the truth of God, no matter what else I don't have, I have so much. I come that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Many of you know the story of the Dutch missionary, Brother Andrew. He wrote a book called God's Smuggler. He was called back in the 1950s to take Bibles into communist countries, which was illegal. And God called him to do this, and he had a little Volkswagen Beetle that he drove, packed full of Bibles, and time again, he would drive right across the border, right past the communist guards with a car full of Bibles, which was violating the law and was punishable by death. He still has a ministry today called Open Doors Ministry. But he wrote this, as he prepared to smuggle Bibles past communist border guards. He wrote this in the book, God Smuggler. I'm not brave. I'm often scared stiff. I drive my car to the Iron Curtain border in the past, and I have not the guts to go in. So I pull back 10 miles and find a small hotel. I begin to pray and fast until I have the courage or the liberty or the boldness to go on, to go in. And that always works. But I would not go in. I would not go if my heart is beating with fear. I pray, Father, you have made blind eyes see. Now make seeing eyes blind. Sometimes we just need to pray. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm fearful. I don't know where to go. Open my eyes, Lord, to your resources. Show me what you're doing for me. Show me the invisible army of heaven that's surrounding me, Lord, that I might have the courage to step ahead. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The battles that you and I fight, the battles of relationships sometimes, financial stress sometimes, emotional trauma, depression, anger, fear, all the things that everyone deals with. Those battles are not won with weapons that the world provides, but with the weapon of faith. Trusting God and looking in His Word for the answers to our difficulties. The fourth lesson and the final one, and we'll conclude here, God's way to overcome evil is with good. As strange as that seems, as illogical as that seems, when you're confronted with evil, there is a way that good can win even over that evil. So here we have the story. The Arameans have come to destroy Israel, and then they focus on Elisha because he is secretly revealing all the plans of the Arameans. Elisha himself has led the Arameans into a place where they are now helpless. They are surrounded by the Israeli army. So in verse 21, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" Meaning, give me permission. Once and for all, we'll get rid of this Aramean army, and they'll never bother us again. Let's just destroy them. We have them. They're at our power to do with whatever we do. Shall I kill them? And here was his answer. Don't kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. They prepared a banquet for their enemies, a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. In Romans, we are reminded of this very thing. Chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If you're thinking right now, sitting in church, of how you're going to get even with that person, or how you're going to take vengeance, just get it out of your mind. This is not God's way, evil for evil. It doesn't work. It only spawns more evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And this is a quote of Proverbs 25, 21 to 22, which says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I know this sounds like nonsense. I know this sounds like it doesn't work, but have you tried it? It does work. We're not just to avoid our enemies, those who come against us. We're to look for a way to positively bless their lives. And in that blessing, God will be honored and your enemies will be conquered. William McKinley was our 25th president of the U.S. from 1897 to 1901 until he was unfortunately assassinated. He was raised in a good Christian home, a godly man. When he was campaigning to be president, there was one reporter that just hounded him wherever he went, misquoted him, misrepresented him, did everything he could to discredit McKinley. One day, McKinley was riding in a horse-drawn cart, a horse-drawn carriage. And while he was inside, he heard someone coughing up on top, and he knew that this was the reporter who was following him to his next appointment. He got out of the carriage. He said, first of all, to the driver, stop the carriage. Got out, looked up, and said, young man, come down. And the reporter said, that's it. Okay, I'm done. He's going to tell me to leave. I'll never be able to report what he's doing again. He said, young man, you're coughing very badly. I want you to come inside, take my seat, and I'll sit up top. It's warmer inside. And the reporter says, Mr. McKinley, do you know who I am? He said, I know exactly who you are. You're the reporter that's been following me all through my campaign. And he said, but you need to be inside where it's warm so that you can do a good job for your newspaper. McKinley got up top where it was cold. The reporter got inside. And from that day on, the reporter never bothered McKinley again. He never saw him again because he had won him over, not by anger, not by threats, not by vengeance, but by love. A great story here to remind us of this scripture we began with. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. We're praying that for Devin. We're praying that for Alana. And I'm praying that for you. For 3 weeks on our road trip, we saw this dramatically revealed in so many ways I don't have time to tell you this morning. It will work for you too if you put your faith in God. Back in World War II, there was an English vessel sailing from England to America with many passengers aboard. This is during the war. And they knew they were going to go across the Atlantic where there were many enemy ships. And so before they left, they got orders from Great Britain like this. Keep straight on the course we give you. Turn aside for nothing. If you need help, send a message in code so that the enemy doesn't know. The ship began sailing from England to America. And about halfway across, they saw a large German cruiser right off their bow, not far off. And they were concerned. And so they radioed in and said, we see enemy ships. What do we do? Keep straight on your course and just trust us. We're with you all the way. The captain looked around. He saw no ships of the British Navy there, only the German cruiser right off of his bow. But he did what he was ordered to do, straight on course, and within a few days they were sailing in to an American harbor, and right behind them, gliding out of the water, a British submarine coming up out of the water. What they had not seen was that following them all the way and guarding them all the way was their own Navy. There is an unseen God who will go with you, who will go ahead of you, and who will not forsake you and not fail you. Trust in him. I pray that for our graduates, and I pray that for each one of us this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this promise that you go before us, that your eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to strongly support those who put their faith in you. May we be people of faith. May we be people who see more than the physical eyes see. What we see in the Spirit, Father, that there is a greater force with us than there is against us. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Help us through our difficulties to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Bless us this morning as we go. We thank you for this time of fellowship and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.